I want you to open your Bibles again with me this evening in the Word of the Lord, and we want just to follow the Scriptures of Holy Truth in 1 Timothy and the chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we commence to read at the verse number 1 as we would handle the Word of God and submit ourselves to God's infallible truth. I exhort therefore, verse number 1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broiled hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh woman professing godliness with good works. And we know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his infallible truth for his name's sake. Amen. This not only is a very special occasion in that the brethren here of the Royal Black Institution have joined with us on this occasion, but also we do celebrate tonight a service of thanksgiving for the 60 years of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth upon the throne. I was just thinking just how amazing it is what change can happen in a moment of time. On the 6th of February in 1952, George VI, the Queen's father, passed away into eternity. Unexpectedly, he passed into eternity. And at that time, a young princess, Princess Elizabeth, was visiting with her husband the land of Kenya. They were en route to the land of Australia and to New Zealand. Whenever the news was broken that the Queen's father had passed away, Her Majesty the Queen, or the Princess at that time, was her young husband, a young man that she fell in love with, believe it or not, at 13 years of age. She fell in love with Prince Philip. He was the son of a Greek prince and princess. He served as a young officer in the Royal Navy. And you know, that moment, her life changed. As I said, it's just amazing how that in a moment of time, what a life-changing experience for her. Because Princess Elizabeth left the shores of Britain to go on that journey to Kenya, hopefully to Australia and to New Zealand. And she went as a young princess, but she returned home as a queen. She left as a young lady with no responsibilities upon her shoulders, but she returned home as a queen, carrying the responsibility of her people upon her heart. And for her and Prince Philip, their lives would never be the same again. And tonight we celebrate and we thank God for those years that God has given to Her Majesty in this Diamond Jubilee. She's the second longest reigning monarch. Queen Victoria was the one who actually reigned longer to this moment. Queen Victoria was greatly used also of God in her day and in her generation. We would say, however, having served us for 60 years, we would cry, long may she reign. She was crowned Queen of England, or rather Elizabeth II, by the grace of God, of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and her other realms and territories, Queen, Head of Commonwealth, and defender of the faith. She promised as a young woman this promise: my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service and the service of our great empire. And now 60 years on, we look back and we thank God for those 60 years that God has given to her, 60 years of devoted service, in good times and in bad times, in days when the sun was shining, in days when the dark clouds had gathered, she served as our gracious queen. And I believe tonight in this service with the Black Institution, with you, the subjects of Her Majesty the Queen, I believe it's important that we realize under God responsibilities that we have to Her Majesty. And you say, well, you know, that it's not in the Word of God. Friend, it is in the Word of God. And there are responsibilities that I believe, and there are things that we need to take upon our heart concerning Her Majesty the Queen on this Diamond Jubilee. First of all, can I say that we ought to, and we should, first of all, pray for the Queen. We read tonight two passages of God's Word. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse number 1, it says this, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. And therefore I believe that under God, friend, those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, that they have a duty before God to pray for Her Majesty the Queen. We often sing the words, and we'll sing them again tonight, God save our gracious Queen. And friend, that is, in my heart, it's a prayer. It's not only words that are sung upon my lips as a loyal subject of Her Majesty, but they're the words of a prayer, earnestly praying that God would graciously save our gracious Queen and also every member of the royal family. You know, people say to me, when it says there in verse number 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. And people say, well, you know, I couldn't pray for the government. I couldn't pray for the prime minister and the government because there's so much sin and so much evil. You'll notice it does not say the condition that they are in there. It says, I exhort you that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions for kings and for all that are in authority. And if you just set your mind back, whenever Paul was writing those words to young Timothy, friend, you will find that there were ungodly men that were in authority at that time. The Roman authority was a vicious authority. They were an evil authority. They had brought the Jewish people into not only subjection, but also they were under the Roman authority, subjected to them even to cruelty. And yet, we find that it says here, I exhort that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession for kings and for all that are in authority. You think of Her Majesty the Queen, these 60 years since the day that Winston Churchill stepped up and he said to the nation, God save the Queen. And the nation joined in that response. And from that time, Her Majesty the Queen has had several, many prime ministers that have come and have gone. Sad reality is many of them that advise and come to meet her week after week and sit there and speak to Her Majesty and advise her of what is happening in the world. Sad to say, some are ungodly men. They had little time for the things of God. They had little time for the gospel of our Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet the Word of God says, I exhort you. That you supplicate, that you pray, that you intercede for kings and all that are in authority. We should pray for our nation. We should pray for our Queen. And pray that God will indeed keep His gracious good hand upon our Queen. You know how wonderful it would be
If our government once again would call the nation at a time of difficulty, in a time of problems and recession and what is happening internationally in the world, what a wonderful thing if they would honor God and call the nation back to prayer. Do you know it was the King of England, it was the Queen's father who did that? Do you know that way back in 1940, on the 26th of May, Sunday the 26th of May, the King called for a national week of prayer? We have gone so far away from it. Why did he call for a national week of prayer, friend? Because we're in wartime. Our backs were against the wall. Situation was in crisis. Disaster was facing the nation. And he knew that man could not do it himself. Man was not sufficient. And so the King of England and the King of the United Kingdom and all his realms and territories, he called the nation to prayer. You know exactly what happened after that? You read your history books and you'll find that when the King did that, my friend, it was a time whenever our soldiers were in great difficulty during the war and the German troops were about to destroy our soldiers. Do you remember the Battle of Dunkirk? And it was at that very time he called the nation to get on its knees. He said, you know, the nation had with its back against the wall. He says, get on your knees to pray. Because he knew only God could turn the tide. Only God was the answer. And friend, that's exactly what God did. Because the nation prayed. What happened? 340,000 soldiers' lives were saved, brought back from Dunkirk, alive instead of dead, in answer to prayer. I was reading in 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. And in that passage of God's word, we find that Judah was surrounded by the children of Moab and Ammon. And they came up against Jehoshaphat. You know what the king did? He prayed. He honored the Lord. Let me read to you what the scripture says. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea. And Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. They got on their knees. They cried unto God. It says, even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord. And he said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God? And he cried to God. And the people did likewise. They joined themselves together, it says in verse 13, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Friend, we are in days of difficulty. They talk about the economic collapse. They're worried. What is the future? Men are losing their jobs and women likewise. We are in days of recession. And people don't know what is around the corner. But there's one thing they have not done. They haven't called to God. They haven't sought God. Disaster faces us. But friend, except the Lord build the house, the Bible says, they labor in vain that build it. We need to pray for those in authority. You know what it says in the Word of God? It says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Let me tell you, friend, it doesn't say the condition of your father or your mother. I had young people come to me and say, preacher, but I couldn't honor my father and my mother. Look at the condition of my father. My father's a drunkard. My mother's in the depths of sin. I couldn't honor them. I said, listen, God didn't say the condition of your parents. God says honor them. God says, honor them. You know, sometimes we say, well, listen, we'll only pray for our nation. We'll only pray for those in authority if they are the Lord's children. Let me tell you, my friend, we are to pray. The Word of God says, listen, I exhort you for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Did God mean that? Yes, He does. And thank God, God stepped in Jehoshaphat's day. And thank God, God stepped in the Queen's father's day. Friend, I can say this tonight. God can step in our day. Do you know what they did on her father's day, friend? They humbled themselves. Be honest, we talk about Ulster people at times. We're a hard-necked people. We're an independent people. Let me tell you, friends, sometimes we're an arrogant people. And we won't give God His place. Somehow we think we are the answer. We have all the answers. We can do it ourselves. And friend, if except we do it, it won't be done right. Listen, except the Lord build the house. We need the Lord in this country of ours. And friend, we need to get back as a nation. This United Kingdom needs to get back to God. You know what you can do? You can pray for that. You can pray that God will turn the tide again. You pray that God will send to this land of ours a gracious Holy Ghost, heaven-sent revival. But thank God, God is able. So the first responsibility, I believe, as citizens, as subjects of Her Majesty the Queen, we ought to pray for the Queen. Do you? Maybe you say, well, you know, I just don't like some of the things that she did. Do you pray for her? Because let me tell you, my friend, God doesn't like what you're doing because you're disobeying His word. For kings, queen. And then the second thing I believe before God is this. Not only should we pray for Her Majesty the Queen, and can I just say in passing, do you know that every day in Parliament, the very first thing that is done in Parliament every day, before the cameras go on and you see what is happening in Parliament, the very first thing is that's done, friend, it is the Word of God is read, and thank God they're still reading the King James Authorized Version. And every day in Parliament they read Psalm 67. You know what it is? It's a prayer. It's really a prayer. Asking God. Asking God's blessing. And then after they do that, the second thing they do is, after reading of God's word, friend, then they pray. And when it comes to prayer, what we do is this. We turn our backs upon the dispatch box. We turn our backs upon the speaker. We turn our back upon all those that represent authority. Do you know why? Because we're turning our back upon man. We're looking to God. And yet the tragedy is this. That many who go through that as a ritual, they know nothing of the God that they're turning to. And they're passing laws that are in contravention to the Word of God. That's why you need to pray that God will turn the tide again. For God is able. The second thing we ought to do, friend, we ought to not only pray for the Queen, but notice what it says there in 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says this, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings. We ought to praise God for the Queen. We ought to thank God. Listen, we're not in a dictatorship. Thank God we're not under the heel of communism. Thank God we have liberty to come tonight to this service. We're able to walk to this house of God, and you're able to gather here in this house of God. Nobody making you afraid. We're able to open the Bible together. We're able to sing the songs of Zion and praise the Lord out of a full heart. You know that there are those who are not able to do that tonight? Do you know that there are missionaries tonight that are suffering because of their love for Jesus? Do you know that there are young ministers in this world tonight that are threatened with death because they mention the name of Jesus? But I hear someone say, but your preacher, it's not here. It's not in this United Kingdom. Friend, let me tell you, once it was. Do you know that? You see, we take these 60 years of Her Majesty's reign, and we take those years for granted, that the liberty was and the freedom to open the Bible and to search the Scriptures and to read the Word of God and to meditate upon the Word of God, that somehow that was always within this United Kingdom. Friend, you don't know your history. Thank God for men that God raised up that give us the Bible in our mother tongue. Thank God for men like John Wycliffe and for men like William Tyndale and men, godly men, that were willing to die, suffer persecution because they wanted to give to the ordinary man the Word of God in their hands, that a plowman could understand the truth of the Word of God. There was a convocation of Oxford that was decreed in 1408 that no man hereafter, this was in the day of Wycliffe, hereafter by his own authority translate any text of the Scripture into English or any other tongue by way of book, pamphlet, or treatise, and that no man may read any such book, pamphlet, or treatise now lately composed in the time of John Wycliffe or since, publicly or privately, upon pain of greater excommunication. He that shall do contrary to this shall likewise be punished as a favorer of heresy and error, just for reading the Bible. And I'm not talking about some foreign land. I'm talking about this United Kingdom. That's what our fathers had to face. And Wycliffe sent men, they were called the Lollards, and he sent them out having read the Word of God. And listen, they couldn't carry a Bible, so therefore they had to get the Word of God saturated into their hearts. And they gathered on the hillsides and away in the distance, away from the eyes of men, and little gatherings of people. And they would preach unto them Christ and quote the Scriptures. And they went out there. You know, some of them were burned. Some of Wycliffe's Lollards, they were burned with the Bible around their neck. And not only that, friend, but in this United Kingdom, they not only put the Bible around their neck, they not only burned them simply for reading, wanting to hear a word from God. But you know what they did? They made their own children light the fire. And whenever the child would screech and cry, and they would make them light the fire that would burn their dad to death, they would laugh. I'm not talking about in distant lands. I'm talking about our kingdom. That's why we should praise God for our Queen. For thank God, under her reign, we have the liberty. We have the freedom to gather round an open Bible and search the Scriptures. Thank God for God raising up in our nation. In the midst of all this darkness, God raised up. There was a young king. He was Edward VI. His coronation was in 1547. He was a boy king. As he walked into Westminster Abbey, he saw three swords which represented his three kingdoms. And he stopped and he said, "There is one sword yet wanting." And the nobles turned to that young king, that boy, and they couldn't understand. What is he speaking about? Where is this missing sword? And the young king said this: "There is one sword missing, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's the one sword that's missing." Queen Elizabeth I said, "I walk many times in the pleasant fields of Holy Scripture." And when Queen Victoria was questioned as to the secret of England's greatness, she said, "The Bible. The greatest possession we have, the secret of England's greatness, was the open Bible." Listen to me carefully, friend. And the secret of our kingdom's downfall is the closed book. No time for God. No time for God's house. No time for God's son. No time for the gospel preaching anymore. We're too modern for that. We're too educated for that. And men and women are stepping out into God's eternity without Jesus Christ, lost in a Christless eternity forever, without God and without hope. Thank God, in the midst of the darkness of the United Kingdom, in 1538, Thomas Cromwell, on the authority of Henry VIII, published a royal injunction that ye shall provide one book of the whole Bible of the largest volume in England, and the same set up in some convenient place within the said church that ye have cure of, whereas ye parishioners may most commodiously resort to the same and read it. That you shall discourage no man privily or apertly from the reading or the hearing of the said Bible, but shall expressly provoke and stir and exhort every person to read the same as that which is the very lively Word of God, that every Christian man is bound to embrace, believe, and follow if he look to be saved. That ye shall make one sermon every quarter of the year at the least, wherein ye shall purely and sincerely declare the very gospel of Christ, and not to repose their trust in wandering to pilgrimages, an offering of money and candles to images, to relics, or saying over a number of beads, or in such like superstition." Then let me tell you this. Every home in Ulster has the privilege to have this book. Do you know this? At that time that great and royal injunction was given, know what they did with the Bible? They had to put a chain on it, because there was only one. And they had to chain it, because lest somebody would be so hungry for the Word of God that they would steal the Bible for themselves, and nobody else could read it. We should praise God for our Queen with thanksgiving, because thank God we have the liberty together like this. The last thought tonight is this. I believe before God, friend, we ought to ponder the words of our Queen. And there are two things I draw to your attention in that. When Her Majesty was crowned, the coronation oath was this: will you to the utmost of your power maintain the laws of God and the true profession of the gospel? Will you to the utmost of your power maintain in the United Kingdom the Protestant Reformed faith established by law? Will you maintain and preserve invocably the settlement of the Church of England and the doctrine, the worship and discipline and government thereof as by law established in England? And will you preserve unto the bishops and clergy of the Church of England and to the churches there committed to their charge all such right and privileges as by law do or shall pertain to them or any of them? And the Queen knelt, and she laid her hand upon the great Bible, and she said this: the things which I have here before promised, I will perform and keep. So help me God. The moderator of the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland presented the Holy Bible to Her Majesty the Queen and said, "Our gracious Queen, to keep Your Majesty ever mindful of the law and the gospel of God as the rule for the whole life and government of Christian princes, we present you with this book, the most valuable thing that this world affords. Here is wisdom. This is the royal law, and these are the oracles of God. And when the orb, the symbol of earthly power, is presented, the Archbishop says, receive this orb set under the cross, and remember that the whole world is subject to the power and empire of Christ, our Redeemer." Her Majesty said, "The things which I have here before promised, I will perform and keep. So help me God." Have you made a vow to God, friend? Maybe there's someone here tonight and you look back on your life and you remember when you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Maybe as a young person, you promised to serve the Lord. Are you serving Him? You promised to love Him, put the Lord first in your life. Is He first? I was in the Great Hall, Westminster Hall, when Her Majesty spoke to both Houses of Parliament. And she said these words: "As I celebrate 60 years as your Queen, I dedicate myself anew to your service. A life of service." And as I thought about that, I thought about young men and young women that have gone to Afghanistan to serve Her Majesty, to protect you and me. And tonight, as we gather here in God's house in safety, there are young men and young women of our armed forces who are in great danger, but they loyally serve Queen and country. And then I thought of something else. I thought of the one who came and pledged himself to the salvation of his people. The Lord left the glories of heaven, the adorations of the heavenly hosts, and he stepped down into a sin-cursed scene of time, friend, for you and me. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to seek sinners in rebellion against his authority, that we might come to know him and trust in him and rest in him and shelter neath the precious blood that he shed upon the cross of Calvary for the cleansing and remission and forgiveness of our sin. He set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven saved through his precious blood. As I close, I read of an old man in the scriptures, in 2 Samuel chapter 15. David was running from his son. David was the king, but Absalom stole the hearts of the people. And as the king was leaving behind the city of Jerusalem, in 2 Samuel chapter 15, in verse 19, it says this: Then said the king to Ittai, the Gittite, Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king. He's speaking about Absalom now. For thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go down and or go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return now and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. And then I love these words. Ittai answered the king and said, As the Lord liveth and as my lord the king liveth, surely what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. He was loyal to the king. I thank God for the years that God has graciously given Her Majesty, but I say this. But beyond my loyalty to Her Majesty, there is a greater loyalty. It is to King Jesus, the one who shed his blood on Calvary's cross that I, a lost and guilty sinner, might be redeemed, that I might never perish, that I would never tread the fires of hell, but rather that I would walk the streets of heaven. And it's all because of God's amazing grace. Friend, one day, queen and subject will leave this world behind. One day we'll be called to another throne, the greatest throne of all, the throne of God. And there at that throne, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord. I want to ask you a question. Is he your Lord tonight? Can you honestly say, thank God I'm ready to go? Remember where I started? One night she was a princess, and in a moment of time, she was a queen. Listen. One night I was a sinner on my way to hell, and in a moment of time, I was a child of God on my way to heaven. I beg you, friends, be sure you're ready to meet him. For meet him, you will. May God save you from sin. And if you love the Lord, then do what he says. Honor him. Fear God. Honor the King. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious and your holy word tonight. And I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou will truly write thy word upon each and every one of our hearts. May not one leave this house tonight without knowing the peace of God which passeth all understanding through faith and trust in the redeeming blood of Christ for Jesus' sake. Amen.